It's Thursday, October 27th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, the World Series is set to start tomorrow night in Houston after what seems like an eternity of waiting. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about the World Series and the matchup between the Astros and the Philadelphia Phillies. Kind of a surprise that the Phillies sort of rode momentum all the way into the National League pennant and are now in Houston trying to break up the Astros, who are on a winning streak here. They're undefeated in the postseason and looking to sweep their way to a World Series title.
Yeah, Joe. The Phillies, they beat the Cardinals, in a two-game sweep in the wild card. Then they beat Atlanta in the ALDS in four games and took out San Diego in the ALCS in five games. And they're a wild card team on a roll. And, the Houston, I think this is their third World Series in the last 6 years, or maybe their fourth World Series. Their fourth World Series in the last 6 years. And both times they've lost to a wild card team. The Nationals beat them, and Atlanta was a wild card team as well. It beat them last year. So, on paper, it looks like the Astros have a big edge. But if you're into signs and prophecies, this is maybe history is repeating itself.
The only team since 1969 to complete an undefeated season, an undefeated postseason, the Big Red Machine in 1976. So that's what the Astros are going for here. They're 7-0 heading into the first game of the World Series. The 2005 White Sox and the 1999 Yankees each went 11-1. So who knows? I don't know if it's a goal. I think just winning the whole thing is probably the bigger goal, but a chance at to sort of make history there for Dusty Baker, and that really is you mentioned Dusty Baker. He's the winningest manager in Major League Baseball history to never have won a World Series. So that the Astros are out there sort of pulling for Dusty.
Yeah, definitely. An interesting matchup. You've got, Dusty Baker, who's done everything but win a World Series, as you just said, and Rob Thompson, who, kind of took over for the Phillies after Joe Girardi was fired in June and kind of helped turn their season around. So you've got, the two managers on the opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, and at age 73, you kind of get the feeling, it might be a walk-off home run for Dusty if he does, complete this sort of ride. A lot of people, Terry Francona always speaks very highly of Dusty Baker, his character and things, a lot of things about him, from his father Tito's experience. Playing with Dusty Baker back in the 60s, just what would it mean for a guy like Dusty Baker to come through and really sort of cap off what's already a Hall of Fame career?
Yeah, if you saw him after they clinched, or they beat San Diego to clinch the NL pennant, he was like 15 years old jumping around. he was really excited. I've never seen him like that. He's pumping, he's giving people high fives. He was just like, he could barely contain himself that he was going back to the World Series. So this is, the good for Dusty. And I think it's going to be an interesting series, Joe. They set the pitching matchups, at least for game one. Aaron Nola is going for the Phillies. Justin Verlander going for Houston. And game two, Zach Wheeler is going for the Phillies. And I would imagine Framber Valdez is going for Houston.
Right. Yeah. The pitching matchup's always very interesting. With the threat of weather for games 3, 4, and 5, and the possibility that there could be delays or whatnot, you might have an opportunity to pitch Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola in multiple games in this series if the World Series is delayed by more than a couple of days.
Yeah, that's what Thompson was saying. In an interview yesterday, they've got a chance to have their best two guys, Nola and Wheeler, pitch in start four of the seven games, depending on how long it goes. So, as good as Houston's starting rotation is, that's an advantage for the Phillies.
Hey, if the weather, when we've seen the weather and be sort of, funny, knowing that Citizens Bank Park is an outdoor stadium in Philadelphia, four games might be the minimum that they get to pitch in this series. You might get to see those guys six games out of seven, if the series is extended and delayed by multiple games. Only by the time it gets back to Houston are the dates and times definitely going to happen because of the roof down there.
Yeah, definitely. And it's interesting. The Astros won 106 games in the regular season. The Phillies won 87 to get into the postseason, kind of snuck into the postseason. That's the second biggest differential in victories in World Series history. And, we're talking about a Houston team that is really loaded.
You're talking about Houston that's loaded. Their lineup is top heavy. You've got Jordan Alvarez sitting in that four hole. He's a guy who has to be intimidating for any Philadelphia pitcher to face, even lefties.
Yeah, MVP candidate. I was reading a story where the Astros, they wanted to sign this guy as an international free agent, but they were over budget. They couldn't get him. The Dodgers scooped him up. And seven weeks later, the Dodgers made a trade with Houston. And Alvarez was the guy they got in return. And he's just turned into a monster.
Yeah, it's impressive to see the way that he's sort of grown since his rookie year. He was the rookie of the year in the American League, and then has really climbed and taken off since then. Another, on the other side of things for Philadelphia, they went out and got a prize free agent a couple seasons ago in Bryce Harper, and that transaction has certainly paid off. No bigger moment than in the bottom of the eighth inning in Philly last week when he basically hit the home run that sent the team to the World Series. Bryce Harper's promise has paid off. He's already a two-time MVP. A World Series title would pretty much cement him as one of the game's biggest superstars.
No doubt about it. And this is a guy, that missed such a big chunk of the season with that broken thumb when he got hit by a pitch. Still came back to hit 18 home runs, bat 286, still really. And he looks like he's coming into his own, Joe, just getting hot at the right time in this lineup. But, you've got Kyle Schwarber. Kyle Schwarber's hitting leadoff for the Phillies. The guy hit 46 home runs this past season, and he's hitting leadoff. What does that tell you about the Phillies lineup?
If we're in October and we're talking about Kyle Schwarber, I bet you there are a million Cleveland fans out there whose stomachs just keep turning after what he did in 2016 to Cleveland in the World Series. But you're right. He's the big difference maker. This was a guy that, the Guardians might have wanted to take a look at, maybe kick the tires on in free agency. Obviously, he probably priced himself out of any sort of look in Cleveland prior to this season. But he went to Philly and obviously, paid off there.
Yeah, definitely. He plays left field. He's really a DH, but Harper's DH for the Phillies right now. So, but he's turned himself into an adequate left fielder. But he's all about the bat, Joe. This guy was born to hit, man, and he's got some power and he's dangerous. I was looking at, what do you think of Verlander? What can you say about Verlander? 39 years old. he went 18-4 in the regular season, 1.75 ERA. I think he's like 15-10 in the postseason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he. What can I say about him? I can say that he's going to win his third Cy Young for certain, and he's going to do that after an age 39 season where he's coming off of Tommy John surgery. All of that is very impressive. You know, we've seen Justin Verlander up close for years when he was with Detroit, and you know, looked mortal back then. You know, was the Guardians were, or Cleveland was able to beat him, you know, pretty consistently earlier in his career, and then he just sort of took off. But right now, he has the resume, you know, to be a first ballot Hall of Famer if he completes this this journey for Houston this year. I think you know, he might be a unanimous guy. I mean, this is the kind of storybook career that you sort of dream of if you're a guy like Justin Verlander, and for him to do what he did this year, and you know, do it at the age and coming off of injury that he's done it, to cap it off with a World Series title would pretty much be the pinnacle for him.
Yeah, I was kind of worried. You know, he got knocked around against Seattle in the ALDS in his first start there against the Mariners. But then he came back and pitched really well against the Yankees in the ALDS. And he looks ready to, you know, take the ball tomorrow night in the first game of the World Series. I think he's like there's only been 16 guys. 16 pitchers, 15 or 16 pitchers to start a World Series game at 39 years or older. And, you know, he's the latest to do it. So, and he's still throwing 98 miles an hour, Joe. So, you know, it's going to be fun to watch him and see what he does tomorrow night.
Yeah. If there's one thing on Verlander's resume that he might want to change around, it's his record in World Series games. He's 0-6 with a 5.68 ERA in games in the World Series. Now, postseason overall, he's got a much better overall record. But his starts in, I believe, in 2017, he started two games in the year that the Astros won that. You know, he's got to come out. He's got to be looking for more satisfaction coming away from a win in a World Series game for himself, I think, personally. So, you know, who knows what his outings are going to look like, but he's certainly going up against a lineup that can take him deep in Philadelphia.
Yeah, and, you know, then, you know, Framber Valdez, you know, it kind of, Verlander and Valdez kind of remind me of, 2007 when CeCe Sabathia and Fausto Carmona were, you know, both kind of Cy Young contenders. You know, Valdez went 17-6 with a 2.82 ERA during the regular season, and he's, you know, he's pitched very well in the postseason as well. So, you know, that's a great 1-2 punch, man.
Yeah. All you're telling me there is that the rich get richer, and, you know, team that already has Justin Verlander, has Framber Valdez, has Christian Javier, you know, they are very deep and they're very talented. And my pick right now is the Astros in five. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see if Major League Baseball has a way of extending things to six or seven games. You know, it always seems to work out that way. Do you think, in your mind, if the Astros dominate this World Series, if they sweep or, you know, win in five, does this change anybody's mind about the whole cheating scandal in 2017, 2018? You know, does it take away the sort of stain and the stigma? Is that what, you know, Dusty Baker was brought in to do, or will banging on garbage cans still follow this team around for, you know, in perpetuity until at least, you know, the major players who were still around back then are gone?
I think Jose Altuve is going to get booed for the rest of his career, Joe. As great a player as he is, and as much as I'd like to watch him play, you know, he can't escape that. And any of those guys connected with that 2017 team are going to, you know, suffer the same consequence. But, you know, I think you've got to give Houston credit for where credit is due here. You know, the last, what, they made the postseason six straight years. This is their, what, fourth trip to the World Series we were talking about. You know, I think that if you're realistic, you've got to get past it. You know, if you're a baseball fan, I think you've got to get past the fact that they got caught, they got punished. Was it enough punishment in the minds of a lot of people? No, it wasn't, because none of the players were really punished, you know, except, you know, Cora and, Cora wasn't playing, right? But Beltran was punished, I guess.
Right. Beltran was punished in New York, but not, right, you know, as a member of the Astros.
Yeah, so, you know, those, you know, but really the hammer never dropped on the players, the guys that instigated the whole thing. You know, the manager and the GM were fired and suspended. But, you know, I think, you know, like I was saying, if you're a baseball fan, eventually you got to give these guys some credit. I mean, they've got a great scouting system. They just keep coming up with players, you know, the players, Framber Valdez, Garcia, you know, who's the shortstop, Pena, you Very know, was Pena, the MVP of the ALCS or the NLCS. I mean, you know, where do these guys, you know, they're doing a great job, and, you know, they've got the marketing. They've got a bunch of Cuban players that I think they've got the most Cuban players in their farm system, you know, as among the 30 big league teams. So they've done a good job. Will they ever escape that? No, I don't think they ever will.
So you heard it here first. Hoynesy says it's okay to boo the Astros for as long as you want. And, you know, hey, you're a Hall of Fame voter. Once Jose Altuve retires and he shows up on the Hall of Fame ballot, is this something that you would consider when you take into account the whole of his career?
It, you know, I would consider it, but it wouldn't stop me from voting for him. You know, I think that's
fair. I think it's fair to, you know, take it into consideration, but still look at all of the other, you know, attributes of a player and, you know, you could still vote for a guy. Even despite that, now it's not steroids, so it's completely different. But I think you've got to at least bring it up. And boy, I would love to see it on his plaque if he ever does get into Cooperstown. You know, hey, won a World Series title in 2017 with an asterisk next to it. That would be that would be very interesting.
And baseball fans have long memories; they never forget, Joe.
Yeah, that's I am certainly never going to forget, you know, actually catching the guy videoing the Cleveland dugout and the league doing nothing about it in 2018. I just find it amusing. All right. We did get some breaking news just before we started recording today's podcast. We found out the finalists in the American and National League for Silver Slugger Awards. Those have been announced. The finalists have been announced. I'm not 100% sure on when the announcement. I gotta believe it's going to be after the World Series when the winners will be announced. But the Guardians have two candidates at least make it to the finals for the Silver Slugger Awards at their positions. Obviously, at third base, Jose Ramirez is going to be there. He's a finalist along with Boston's Rafael Devers, Houston's Alec Bregman, and Matt Chapman in Toronto. Over at second base, the aforementioned Jose Altuve, Marcus Semien, DJ LeMahieu from the Yankees, and Andrés Giménez of the Guardians, your all-star starter at second base. Giménez, certainly, you know, one of the more exciting players on the Guardians roster, and looking forward to, you know, big things from him in the future. Could start here with a Silver Slugger at second base.
Yeah, that'd be great for Andres. Certainly had a breakout season. I don't even know if it's a breakout season. I guess it's a career season, right? So far, just, you know, showed some, you know, defensively. I know this doesn't take into effect the defense, but defensively he was great, and offensively showed some power that, you know, no one saw coming. I don't think, what, 17, 18 home runs, just had a, you know, hit for an average. And it's just too bad, you know, he got hit in the hand there, Joe. It kind of slowed him down in September, you know, and for the postseason. But you know, I think he had a great season, certainly a deserving, you know, deserving candidate for a Silver Slugger Award.
Yeah, he didn't just get hit in the hand. He got hit everywhere. He got hit in the hand, he got hit in the back, he got hit in the foot. And in the number of times there was questions as to whether he got hit, and the opposing manager, you know, had to review it or consider reviewing it, or I believe Terry Francona got tossed out of a game over arguing whether or not he got hit in a game. You laugh about it, you joke about it. A, it takes a big toll, and B, it was a big part of his game. Tito said the reason why he was getting hit so much was because he's up on the plate, he's daring you to throw inside, and when you do, he's doing damage with those pitches. I don't think people realize just how clutch he was throughout the season. In the seventh inning or later, you know, pretty much from mid-May through the end of August, Andrés Giménez was one of the most dominant hitters in the American League with runners on base in the seventh inning or later.
Yeah, that's a great point. He was really, really clutch with and when it counted, you know, just I'll never forget the walk off against the Twins, you know, in mid-season, really kind of put the Twins on alert that they were in serious trouble when it came to winning the AL Central. And you know, he kind of did the you know, he put him to sleep as he walked around, as he ran around third base. That was just and he did that. I mean, he was really a dangerous hitter, you know, in the late innings and when they needed a big hit, it was fun to watch him swing the bat.
Everybody remembers the two home runs that Josh Naylor hit in that game in Chicago back in May. But it was the opposite field home run by Andrés Giménez earlier in that game that sort of, stretched things out and continued it and gave Naylor the opportunity to come up there later and tie the game up in the ninth and then win it after that. And that was I just remember that at bat. It was a beautiful piece of hitting. He crushed a ball opposite field off a left-handed reliever.
Yeah. And he, I think his splits were, pretty good, right? I don't think he had a dominant, righty lefty kind of split. And he didn't walk a whole lot, I guess, which maybe it will improve or, as he gets older, or maybe they don't want him to, the way he swings the bat. So, a solid part of that lineup. And, if he hits fifth or sixth, kind of an ambush type hitter, once you get through the top four or five guys.
Yeah. The big difference for him was his ability to hit off speed pitches this year and sort of hunt those when he knows that he's in a situation where he could see them. I remember I wrote something about, it was earlier in the year, it was probably about May or June. And just the difference between last year when he had to go down to AAA and this past season when, pitchers thought they could fool him with off-speed pitches and it just wasn't the case. Over at third base, Jose Ramirez, that's some pretty stiff competition there. If you're talking about Rafael Devers, Alex Bregman, Matt Chapman, maybe not so much. He came on at the end of the season a little bit, but just looking at the three, my general feeling is Jose Ramirez is going to get his fourth Silver Slugger award. But Devers and Bregman, certainly both are worthy candidates.
Yeah. Devers, is really a solid hitter. Bregman he kind of struggled this year, didn't he, Joe? He kind of came on, he kind of got his act together, but he was struggling for a while. I don't know if he was hurt. I think he was hurt, right?
He was hurt. And then down the stretch, he turned on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Jose, played what, like three fourths of the season or the last 3.5 months with a broken, a thumb injury that they told him he could have surgery in June, and he turned it down and kept swinging the bat and just had really set career highs in RBIs with 126 RBIs hit. I'm trying to look at his numbers right here. 280, played. I think he tied a career high with 157 games played, 29 home runs, 126 RBIs. You know, 869 OPS, you know, 601 at bats, you know, with your hand hurting. That's, you know, I mean, that's, yeah, that's, that shows you he was, you know, he was just hanging in there. He wanted to be there for the team, and he wanted to keep playing.
And he was dominant early in the season. You know, he's the player of the month in April, jumped out to that big lead in RBIs, you know, early on. And, you know, sort of made adjustments after that injury. He made adjustments to make himself still be effective. He wasn't necessarily driving the ball as much as he was early in the year, but he was still hitting and still getting on base and still running the bases as well. All those things sort of matter. If you take into account, you know, for a Silver Slugger, if you take into account not just the power numbers, but, you know, the way he impacts a lineup or the way he impacts a game, I think he's clearly the choice at third base over the other two guys that I mentioned, three guys that I mentioned. But, you know, I've seen, you know, Devers over the last couple of seasons has been the guy that's sort of been the popular choice. So who knows what the voters on this particular award are going to do, which way they're going to lean. But I think Jose Ramirez a good chance to pick up his fourth award in that category, and you know, bring home some hardware for the Guardians.
I mean, he led the American League with 44 doubles as well. So, you know, I mean, he still had some pop, although, you know, his home runs dropped off with the injury.
All right, Hoynesy, we're going to wrap it up for today. Good look at the World Series. Good look at some Silver Sluggers. We'll come back and continue our look at the our outlook on the 2023 Guardians tomorrow. Wrap up the week by taking a look at the bullpen here on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast.
Good deal, Joe.